Welcome in, everybody. It is Inside the Gamecocks, the show here. We are live, JC, just rolling into hour three on the special. We're going to have to figure out, workshop some intros and openings there to get us into the show here.
I've got some coming, man.
Spending five. Yeah, no. That's all right. I'm not trying to put any pressure on you. God knows you got pressure going on, dude.
No, I've been to work on it Sunday, and we had a little mishap around here, so.
Yeah. Hey, that's all right. Speaking of,
I've got a scroll and all that. It'll be there.
Speaking of a lot of work on your shoulders, don't forget everybody, fourquarterfriday.com. Join for a dollar now and get in on all your high school sports around South Carolina. It's going to be fun. We got chat message boards. I don't know why I keep saying chat rooms. I know why, because I'm old. But no, they're message
rooms. Those chat rooms, man.
Dude, I remember Prodigy and that whole setup. That's how old I am, right? Yeah, dude. It's
AOL instant message.
fourquarterfriday.com. Get in on it if you want to chop it up with all of your friends, talk junk about your high school.
Yes.
Or alma mater against somebody else's. We'll all be in there here as season gets cranked up. I don't know why, but I'm going to talk all kinds of mess about Wade Hampton, even though they probably don't deserve it. But you know what? Somebody needs to. Darn it.
Wade Hampton made the theme song, brother.
They did. I saw
it. I basically just put all of our alma maters in there. I was like, I hate to mention Wade Hampton.
I know.
You know, Wade Hampton's been around as a school for a long time.
Yes. And has a national or state championship in football to their credit.
60, I think. But my dad... So my dad, back in the day, there was no Dorman in Spartanburg. There was Spartan High, and then Burns came along, I think, in 56. But before that, it was like a Florence. It was like a lot of small, Woodruff was there. But so there was no Dorman in Spartanburg. Mm-hmm. And so Spartanburg's big rivalry was Greenville.
Right.
They play at Serene Stadium. And then Wade Hampton was the Dorman of Greenville. Mm-hmm. Right? So dad used to play Wade Hampton. So they're a legacy school.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
They just have been terrible.
That's right. This is most of the time bad.
I mean, hey, Sewanee was really good in the SEC the 1900s. So they're a legacy school.
Well, I know, kind of similar to your experience, although I think Burns football was a little bit better, but Wade Hampton, all 4 years I was there, the band was better than the football team.
Well, now hold on. Now, the band being better than the football team, and a lot of people we know were in the Burns Rebel Regiment.
Right.
When I was in high school, some of them. One played the French horn. You would never think he was a mellophone or French horn player, but he was. And they were better than football. Like my junior year, the football team won 10 games. Well, they were a number one seed in the 4A. Back then, there was no 5A. It was just Big 16, then 4A, D2. Number one seed at home played Hillcrest Dalzell, who the year before in basketball had beaten us in the state championship game with Ray Allen.
Ray Allen, right? Yeah.
And dude, Hillcrest Dalzell beat Carolina. Let me just say Carolina. Beat Burns 21-17. I'll never forget it. Brian Lane, the head coach at Westside High School, was the quarterback for that Burns team. So, but yeah, check out fourquarterfriday.com. Check out thebigspur.com and Gamecock Central. We have specials going on both for membership. If you buy a Four Quarter Friday membership, you get to read all of the On Three and Big Spur articles, and then vice versa. You get the articles with the membership. Message boards require separate memberships, if I'm not mistaken. I think they worked that out, but we will see. Because the community's a little bit extra.
Just not too much. We're not asking for a lot.
Just a little bit extra. So back to the McKellar Enterprises chat box, because we were talking about SEC quarterbacks. Mike with the drive around the SEC is always excellent with that. And glad. Yeah, I was a little worried because you just never like to pretend like you're criticizing a professional on the air. But what I heard that echo of Mike's echo with the microphone. And I've wanted, I've done that before and gone back and listened to me like, oh my God, I can't believe, because we can't hear it on our
end. Yeah. It's not so bad.
So I put a private chat in. I was very hesitant and he's like, oh, wait a minute. But so I'm glad Mike went back and listened Because I know he would, it would drive him crazy if he was listening to that. But that is what happens. There's your computer mic is not as good as the mics that we have. A lot of our guests use the computer mic, and that's fine. But we like to kind of be a little bit more sound, high sound quality, right, Mando? Mm-hmm. So anyway, Mike was going through all that. We're talking about, you know, top five quarterbacks. None of those guys had Lenore Sellers in the top five, and that's fine with me. Because I think that, hey, it's nice to have something to prove. I think these days, the less complacent you are and the more you just kind of concentrate on winning and all that in sports, especially college sports with everything that's going on, I think the better positioned you are. Because I'll tell you this, there's an opponent full of 18 to 21-year-olds or, you know, maybe 24-year-olds for a little bit longer at least. They read everything too. You can't, you used to be able to like hide the newspapers from players, and so you can't do that anymore. It's all on their phone. I mean, they're going to read everything. Human nature, right? And they're reading it, Lenore Sellers, and oh, that's ought to be easy. Okay.
Sure.
So, okay. That's fine. Good. So maybe your opponent gives a little bit less, you know, like Spurrier used to, maybe they'll help us out a little bit, you know, help us out a little
bit. Yeah. I like the fact that, you know, Carolina's under the radar right now, heading into the football season, right? I mean, it just seems to be, and it's cliche at this point, but hey, I mean, you know, cliche means that there's some truth to it. That's right where Beamer wants to be, right? That's where he excels, is playing that underdog card, you know, and just getting his team motivated, at least from a motivation standpoint.
Yeah, I did some things with the Beamer era. Probably second segment, we'll get into that. I talked about it briefly on Coffee today, but I went back and kind of looked at the roller coaster that has been the Shane Beamer era at South Carolina. It has been.
Yep.
And it's usually darkest before the dawn, right? In one way or the other, right? You know, sometimes whether that's a close loss or a couple of close losses, and then you think, well, they're cooked and they turn it around, or whether that's a blowout loss, or whether that's a season that doesn't go that well, or whether it's a close win over a group of five team, there's a pattern there.
Yeah,
with him as a head coach. Now, you know, I tend to think he really hadn't changed much as a head coach. He's kind of the same guy, you know, the core values and all that. But I think he's finally hired, at least on paper, a guy that makes sense as his OC. So.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it.
So this, we may see a model of consistency one way or the other.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I like it. I would hope Brile sticks around enough to where, you know, some of his scheme would rub off on a couple of the other offensive coaches, and maybe they could just move up into position and kind of run that their own way in that aggressive, creative, and fun manner. But it's the last piece of the, you know, the trifecta, right? You know, you got a good quality DC. I mean, one of the best, I think, in the league in Clayton White. You've got, I mean, your head coach obviously is just bleeds special teams. And now, you know, you finally have an offense that is a college geared offense that looks like it well, not just looks like, but has proven that it makes sense against even competition within the SEC in this league.
Well, I'd say this too, Phil, you know, with Briles too, the stuff he does is out there. I mean, it's not, South Carolina is not all of a sudden reinventing the wheel. This is not when like Mo Malzahn came into the league. And I even think when Josh Heupel got to Tennessee, a lot of people were a little surprised at what they were doing, because the Josh Heupel that left from Missouri to go to UCF, you know, he's a little different coming from UCF to Tennessee, especially during the pandemic. And one of the reasons why is his OC at UCF was one Jeff Lebby, who is Kendall Briles' brother-in-law. They do the same stuff. Kendall and Jeff worked for Lane Kiffin and had some influence there. The Lane Kiffin that left Alabama, not the same Lane Kiffin that came, you know, steamrolling out of UCF to the Ole Miss job. If you look at what they do, Alex Golish at Auburn, somebody had Byron Brown. And I think Chris Doering, I mean, I like Byron Brown. Don't get me wrong. I think he's a heck of a quarterback. And I think for what Auburn needs to do this year, he's going to be an X factor. There's going to be some impressive moments. but if I watched the Florida South Florida game last year, which I know Chris Doering did, he may have even had the game.
Right.
But he's a, you know, Florida Gator. I mean, yeah, I'm probably a little more impressed with Brown than, say, if I'd have watched the Miami UCF game where they lost 49-12 and he did throw for 274 yards, but went nowhere on the ground.
Yeah.
And you know, so I mean, I get it. And I'm not going to sit there and be skeptical of any of these quarterbacks. I mean, I've seen them all offseason. Lenoris is somewhere in the middle. Of the league. People aren't quite ready to bury him, but they're, you know.
No. But I mean, there's shades, obviously, of, you know, the kill zone and Diego Pavia with, you know, Golish and Brown, because there's the familiarity there. And I think it's reasonable. I don't think it's that reasonable to rank him that high, but I would definitely, I could see a scenario where Byron Brown finishes in the top half of SEC quarterback production.
We're talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say this too. It's just kind of one of those things where his numbers, when you look at it, and this is the American Conference, right? I mean, let's be honest.
This is a different step up here.
Yeah, and if there's any good defensive players in that league at all, they're probably the next year going and playing somewhere else,
right?
Be it NFL or otherwise. However, he threw for 3,100 and rushed for 1,000 yards. I mean, I don't care who you're doing that against to put up those kind of numbers.
Yeah, that's serious.
Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily agree with it. I mean, like, if I'm looking for a sleeper quarterback in this league, I think Kamario Taylor from Mississippi State, who's on everybody's mind around here, would be the guy. Auburn's out of sight, out of mind, because Carolina to play them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I the Marcel Reed thing, I think South Carolina, it's kind of that other thing like I was talking about with Brown. We've all seen Reed have a gloriously great, from an Aggie perspective, a terrible, from Carolina's perspective, half a football against the Gamecocks. But the other six quarters we watched him, he was very average.
Right. Average.
Yeah. I mean, some cases below. I mean, I thought the guy was going to throw three or four more interceptions last year in that game against Carolina. I was like, this is just Carolina's day. Now, at no point did I think the Gamecocks would win.
No.
But as far as his performance goes, I was like, well, I thought they'd be more like they start running the ball or Concepcion takes a punt back, something like that. But he lit them up, threw for 439 yards, and the Aggies came back and won. But I like Marcel Reed. I think the question there, Phil, is going to be, well, we've seen it around here. You know, first time ever play callers that get promoted.
Right.
When you have a guy like Colin Klein that's really, really proven and good at it. And you got a guy, Holman Wiggins has been around a long time. A long time. Not like Tony Elliott a long time where he was like, you know, working for Chad Morris, learned the Clemson offense and all that. You know, I've read some articles. I mean, you got to be careful, especially when you got a defensive minded head coach that will just assume you run it and run 5 minutes off the clock and never score as anything. Right.
Right.
Mike Elko during the Notre Dame game, his debut, is on camera going, run the effing ball,
run the,
and they were down.
Right. Yeah. But it's just like, hey,
I mean, they were losing. And I was like, oh, my God. But
try something.
So when you start reading, like, oh, he's going to bring this this NFL concept in that he had, and then all this other stuff, you're like, oh, Lord. Aggie fans need to remember the Mike Sherman era. And then the next year when Cliff Kingsbury and Kevin Sumlin came in, your fifth string quarterback won the Heisman. Johnny
Fulton. Right.
Because what'd they do? The scheme made more sense. And, you know, and that's what everybody hopes for Carolina. But, hey, I understand that. I'm not a Marcel Reed. I'm very zen about these rankings. After last year, I think I was a little militant about it. Because I still think Lenore Sellers is a special player. I don't absolve him for every issue last year because it's never just one thing.
Yeah.
You know, Ole Miss game. There were some open receivers down the field. And there's no reason why he shouldn't hit them. You know, it was like, what were we talking yesterday? I was listening to Chris and Wes on Gamecock Central Live, you know, not much good about the offense last year, except downfield passing plays. Carolina's pretty decent at explosive plays down the field.
Right.
And you got to cash in on those, even if your offense is good. So, you know, but I'm still really high on Sellers. This type of offense makes more sense for him. I've just seen this too many times where you have very, very pedestrian scheme and some NFL ideas and all that. Things don't go well. And everybody's like, brr. And then they're like, well, you get this college guy or this dude from high school. And he just comes in and goes up and they just go up and down the field because it makes more sense. Or you'll see it like when Browse left Arkansas, you know, Pittman and KJ Jefferson and Rocket Sanders. Like, how about Dan Enos? Dan Enos, really good. Really good. Helped the Eagles put in all their RPO game. Exactly. Jalen Hurts.
With Hurts, right.
You tell me, I got it. He lasted 8 games. They fire him. Oh, and then the receivers coach starts calling plays. And by the way, they just go to the swamp and beat Florida and Billy Ball. And Rocket, that was his one good game in 2023.
Right. Yeah.
KJ looked like $1 million because the receivers coach was out because it was just that structured. And sometimes you gotta let the guy, when you have guys, just let them go play.
Yeah. That's like shades of the first half of the A&M game. Man. Yeah. It's just like, go out there and do it, man.
Mike Furry's debut as a play caller, they're chunking it down the field. They're running reverses. They had two backs in the backfield. I'm like, wow, this is actually pretty good.
Look at this. Yeah.
Second half, not so much. But here we go. Krager says Axel will be on stage around 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Usually that's the case. But, dude, they run a tight ship now because they're all older. They're in their 60s.
Right.
I get up around 7, get out of bed around 7:09. Oh, man. So Upton Bellenfont Bruin says will probably be the guy experience. I mean, yeah, and look, it's like, I mean, if he wasn't any good when he played for Pete Limbo at Buffalo 2 years ago.
Right.
You know, I would probably say that. So I was kind of thinking, well, if Bellenfont can't do it, Orson could come in. Orson's 6'1", 210, by the way, so still a big kicker.
Yeah, that's a big dude.
Dude, William Joyce is a big kicker. People didn't realize that. He's 6'2", 225.
Yeah.
He's a big dude. But, I mean, I don't know. I think, as I've said about the kickers all offseason, sometimes you get worried about them. And then you get to the season, everybody's what were we worried about? I remember when Spencer Lanning was the kicker because he was the punter before. I think Suckup left and then Lanning took over.
I think there was one season, I think. There.
Who's going to kick?
Yeah.
Oh, well, they all suck up. Who's going to kick? Well, Lanning Spencer. Spencer Lanning.
Lanning Spencer.
Spencer Lanning was awesome. Oh, it's good for 52, you know. The difference is, though, is nowadays everybody in college football seems to have a dude with a big leg. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Because I was defending Herrera a few years back, and I was like, well, you know, people are mad because he's missing from 50. What gives? Well, little did I know, that was pretty common.
Yes, because everybody's hitting from 50 now.
Like the NFL, you know, you're like, oh, okay. Well,
they're lining up for 60-yarders in the damn league now.
Perhaps I've been mistaken. You know? Ghost had a good point. I look back at Browse, and he ran it more than he passed it with KJ Jefferson, running back mostly, but not just quarterback runs. Yeah. The Browse offense, folks, going back to the Baylor days, is a running offense. I mentioned Josh Heupel earlier at Tennessee. If you look at Tennessee's numbers and the way they pile up rushing yards, you know, they'll run it. It's designed to be able to run the football.
Yeah.
And my understanding is that they think they can run the football this year.
Oh, they should be able to, right? I mean,
if you go tempo, it takes pressure off your offensive line, as we've talked about. When you have a quarterback that can throw, I mean, and this is another thing. Please go listen. It's on the Gamecock Central YouTube channel with Chris Clark and Wes Mitchell. They were talking about the Browse offense, just 10-minute video where they break it down. And they started making a good point about putting a defense in conflict.
Yeah.
And when you have playmakers, as South Carolina does, and you've got to, you want to give a defensive coordinator a checklist, right? Last year, I'm not sure there was a checklist. Eventually there was, hey, don't let Harbor get open deep.
Right.
You know, in the pass game, don't let Sellers run the ball and don't let Harbor get open deep.
Yeah.
And so when you've got to stop two things and you're pretty comfortable with doing it, you can. If you got to stop five, that's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it puts you in conflict because, you know, when you don't have the ability to match up, but very few individual players can match up with Lenore Sellers, like one-on-one. Like, you know, you don't have like a one linebacker that can just chase him around the field. Dominate like,
oh, this is your job today.
Happen. And so, you know, so you need help. You need two spies like Ole Miss used, or you need this. And if you don't, you know, you're like, well, this receiver, I mean, they're not going to be able to get it off because we can dominate here, there. I mean, but like, if you're like, okay, crap. So we got to get lined up and get in position. They're going to snap the ball pretty quick. In most cases, they won't always, but in most cases, they're going to snap the ball quick. We got to get up. We got to stop this guy from running, the 6'4", 240-pound locomotive.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, the
ball every time.
Yeah. And then this other freak on the outside, Nick Harbor, you know, they're liable just to throw it up to him and let him run under it and beat us on a touchdown if we're – so we need help there. And you hope that that's the case. I'm not predicting that it's definitely going to be the case. They're going to have to help on Nick Harbor. But if he starts, you know, figuring it out like he has every year and takes another step, he probably
right.
And, oh, by the way, they got these really good slot playmaker receivers like Tuggle and Sellers and Bennett and all these guys. They got tight ends that'll beat you in different ways. Brady Hunt and Mike Tyler. The running back's a stud, Matt Fuller. You know, and
yeah,
and who knows if all these guys will be that, but so you don't really, you're as a D coordinator, I would think you're at your own peril. The more you like decide to do special things, just try to get everything stopped. But some good defensive coordinators too will tell you, we can't stop everything. What we're going to try to do is stop what we can and live with the rest.
Live with you.
That's hope right. they help us, you know?
Well, I think that's one of the more frustrating things about watching the offense last year, JC, is the fact that it's like you have all the tools in place to do specifically that, put the defense in conflict.
Very little of that.
It was just so rote and vanilla that you're like, oh, we're not doing this at all.
not a bit.
This is the war of attrition that we're going to get a day full of tomorrow, you know?
Goodness gracious. So. But yeah, Ghost Browse runs the football. Runs the football. All right. God, that goes quick, man.
Yeah, quick segment, man. Football season, man. Football season.
So Shane Beamer and the Gamecocks get started at 2:55 Eastern today, so it's 12:30. So you got a couple of hours to get ready, tune in, make sure you're on SEC Network. I believe Shane will talk to the local media, but nobody's heard anything about that. The local media scrum, I would guess.
Yeah, I would think so. He's got a full day, though, man. His schedule, he's bouncing all over the places.
I saw that. A lot of media hits. Shane does a lot of media. He likes it. He's good at it, quite frankly.
Yeah.
He actually mentioned that in an interview I heard with him. He thought about sports casting. I mean, like he said, he talked about that in an interview I heard with him recently. Maybe it was Jimmy Francis.
That's right. Well, let's hope in 20 years after he retires from Carolina that he finds himself behind a desk somewhere.
And boom goes the dynamite.
That's right.
Shane Beamer. Boom goes the dynamite. Boom
goes the dynamite.
Oh, man, dude. Shane would be good as a studio analyst. He's like, listen, I'm going to tell you this right now. He'd be pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Very personable guy. Good person. Everybody's pulling for him, man, this year. Everybody's pulling for him.
Yeah.
We'll talk about this hot seat stuff and McKellar Enterprises chat boxes. Interesting stuff. Speaking of sportscasters, Carl Ravitch laid off at ESPN. They got rid of Ryan Clark, too. That didn't hurt my feelings.
Nah.
Although Ryan Clark, I'll say, sometimes has some good football stuff. Anyway, Carl Ravitch, good Lord, how that's one of your best voices.
I know. That didn't make sense to me. That one was a bit, but hey, that's what they do at Disney is make weird decisions.
They got to save money because they got to pay the SEC, right?
That's right.
All right, Mad Dog and I, this is Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We will be back after this quick commercial timeout for the last segment. Send you off to SEC Media Days and Beamer.
Welcome back, everybody, Inside the Gamecocks, the show here. Final segment of the show on a terrible Tuesday. Shane Beamer Day.
It's Gamecock Day.
Yeah, I love it. Ready, all kicking right, so off.
I guess an ESPN analyst, which one? Who knows? Bill Connolly. Wow, he said something about the Gamecocks. Said Harbor and Sellers, the two most intimidating offensive duos, probably because of their size.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mike mentioned that. Yeah, yeah. But Bill Connolly.
I mean, you know, there's probably not many players and people on the football team I have more respect for. I have respect for, healthy respect for all of them. I think Carolina's been very, very fortunate to have a good group of people on the team, win, lose, or draw. I also think that if they're not here for very long. That's the thing about, one of the positive things about having such a good culture,
right?
Is that kind of thing just takes care of itself because the other players will ostracize people that aren't good and just kind of takes care. You don't have to be a heavy, you know, just get rid. You know, they'll just fix the glitch, you know, like an Office Space.
They make the tea leaves really easy to read.
Yeah, but it's like people, but there's not, for the work ethic, the time he puts in, how he treats people. Nick Harbor is one of my favorites of all time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I know some people that know him really well, and he's just a fantastic human being. I'm trying not to jump on the hype train with him. And I'll tell you why. Because he was a five-star, because you look at the 241 pounds and you look at the sprinter's speed and then you look at what he has done at times where you go, gee whiz. A catch and run against A&M. We've been waiting on that for a long time. I just don't want people to be down.
Right.
You know, when he's probably going to make his normal improvement. But how good is that? I think a lot of people are expecting a Xavier Leggett-style senior or final year.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it'll be his final year, but I think they're expecting, you know, 71 catches and all that. Hey, maybe I'll be great with it. But Xavier Leggett was a different. You watch from the North Carolina game in 2023 on some of the catches he was making. He wasn't making those the year before until the end against Notre Dame.
Right.
And that got him going. I think with Nick, what's positive about it, though, is you look at what he does add every year. Started out, he's basically a possession receiver. Because in 23, freshman, he's just out there.
He's just fast.
Just kind of, he just ran across the field and caught it and fell down.
Yep.
So then we get to the end of 24, and he's still doing that little crossing pattern pretty well, you know. But all of a sudden, against Missouri, he gets open deep. And then against Wofford, he catches a long pass. And then, you know, then you started seeing that all year last year from Virginia Tech on. That was probably the best play the offense had. Throw it up deep to Nick.
Yep.
It really wasn't much else, right?
One dimension.
And so the little glimpses of hope we saw at the end of 24 manifested themselves in 25. So then, last year, that catch and run against A&M, you start thinking to yourself, if he can start doing this where he finds a spot in a defense, turns it upfield, and leaves everybody,
right.
That gets good because, you know, when you have a pretty good offensive coordinator, pretty good passing game, you know, a lot of things are designed to find the hole in the defense. You find it, boom, and he's just got it. He has the angle, and he's able to turn around, get upfield, and accelerate fast enough to run off and leave everybody.
Right.
So,
it's like that evolution, right, where a good receiver, like the best receivers, are never fully covered. even if they're double covered, right? Yeah. Because it's like your route tree has what it needs in it. Your execution of the tree has what it needs to be able to run yourself open. And if that's the next step, like everybody's like, we're watching him evolve as a wide receiver. It's like, it's like, I'm not officially on a hype train, JC, with the whole Nick Harbor thing, but what we've seen is what you've just said, is there has been a progression in his ability and skill set year over year over year. And there's nothing that says that that is not going to continue. Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, it's not hype so much as it is he has set forth this expectation of improvement and continued development that is exciting to look towards. Now, I'm not saying, oh, he's going to be the number one receiver in the country, blah, 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 you know, but it does make for an intimidating, you know, quarterback wide receiver combo when you got a guy like Lenora Sellers throwing to a freak athlete like Nick Harbor, who has advanced every year he's been on the field. Oh, and is now in his fourth year of starting.
Absolutely. I'm with you there, because it's like, if he takes that next step forward, you know, but like, I'll compare him to Xavier, and, you know, Xavier got really good at like going up and getting it, timing his jumps, all that good stuff. Hey, Blake, Queen of the Cox is back. Blake.
Queen's back. Yeah.
He's back in the saddle. It is football season. I just don't know that I've seen that for him. Maybe he adds that because he is 6'5", but I just don't know that he's a jump baller type guy. I think he's a big sprinter is what he is. He's different. He's different than any other player you're going to find. But that's good. They knew that when they recruited him. He's just a freak. So, but I'm glad he's going to media days. I'm glad he's getting a little love.
Yeah.
People are going to talk about him. Like I said, I'm just trying to slow it down. I also know this. Carolina's got other players in that room that are going to have something to say about making a play or two this year.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's only one football, too. So I don't know.
Should, yeah, I think
they'll have, they're like 75 receptions. I'm like, I don't know about that, man.
I don't know.
Anyway, Tri-State says, what's up, guys? I'm sorry. I might have missed it yesterday, but are you guys going to do the tailgate show this year? Yes.
That's right.
First one will be bright and early on September 5th.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's my favorite hour of the week.
You're in football, yeah. Because I know I'm about to like chill and watch football.
That's right. After we get this behind us,
okay, this done. Man, our tailgate show last year before the Virginia Tech game, I think it had like 5,600 views. Popularity of it went downhill after that.
Yeah, that's all right. Hopefully it'll increase. Like, you know, we'll probably start out strong. And then,
Just keep going. So, but yes, Tri-State, we're going to do that. TD says it's hard for him to talk junk about high school ball because he went to Carolina Forest and lives in Myrtle Beach. I think I'm the only one on here who lives at the beach. Yeah, there's, one thing, I've been digging into high school markets and numbers for Four Quarter Friday behind the scenes. You probably won't see my name on that site often, but I'm being behind the scenes, edit it, and, you know, the strategy and all that because we own it. North Myrtle Beach, the Chiefs, have a big, active bunch of parents and boosters. What do you think about it, TD? Am I right about that or wrong? I don't know. You know, it just seems to me like they're very – there's a lot of North Myrtle Beach people out there.
Yeah.
Lance says, best mascot in South Carolina is Golden Flashes.
Johnsonville mentioned in the intro.
It's Johnsonville's in the song, too.
Got some love in the song.
But look, it's it's about to definitely be the undisputed because one of my favorite – well, the Traveler's Rest Devil Dogs are up there for me.
That's a good one. Yeah,
that's TR. A good one. And I like the Barnwell – War horses.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Barnwell, they're making a Barnwell County High School. So they're combining a bunch of schools and they're not going to be, I think they're the Comets or Cobras or something.
Oh, really? They're going to get rid of the War Horses. Like they did in Colleton there when they got rid of.
The Walterboro was gone. Cam says he's been critical of Peyton Williams, but according to PFF, highest overall defensive grade at 75.7. Team's highest coverage grade at 76.4 and top tackling grade on the entire defense last year. I think when a safety messes up, though, I think there's two things is probably why you feel that way. Is same, you know, same here.
Yeah.
Is when it's kind of like offensive line. When a safety messes up, the band is playing.
Right. Right.
You know, and a lot of times it's not even on the safety. Like, and I, this is kind of a reverse, but in 2010, you know, Carolina's pass defense that year, they won the SEC East, but the pass defense wasn't all that good. I mean, they got torched sometimes. In 2010, people, I remember being at the SEC championship game, and the guy beside me was like, Gilmore's awful, Stephon. And it was because Carolina really had poor safety play that year. Now, they fixed it the next year. But – and Stephon was trying to over, because you'd see Stephon chasing after the receiver.
Right.
And so it looks like, I mean, it wasn't his guy. He was just trying to make up for it. So I think that's number one. I think number two, no matter who played back there, Cam, they weren't going to be Nick Eamon Waring.
Right.
Yes. I mean, it just wasn't good. But, you know, Peyton, I mean, he's a guy, he's out of Texas. Rockwall High School, I believe, in the Dallas Metroplex. Three-star guy they brought in. Good player. ESPN had him in the top 200, 300, top 300. Good film. Mm-hmm. Got in there as a freshman against Tennessee. Did some really nice things in a tough situation. Was a late start at Vandy in 2024. Did really well. Had some good moments. He's had moments. You know, that pick he made at LSU last year, late in the end zone.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Save some embarrassment, right? But like a lot of players, you know, last year I thought Fred Johnson had some great moments. After the first game, I was ready to anoint myself king of linebackers because I was talking him up, and he had such a great game against Virginia Tech. But he's inconsistent. So defensive players, I think consistency is a big deal.
Yeah,
and I think sometimes even when a defensive player is doing their job, we don't always see it because we're like, well, guys, they got 15 yards on this play, and we don't know the assignments and all that. Mm-hmm. So that could be where that is. But I'll just say this about Peyton overall. He needs to be that guy that around here that in the defensive backfield saves his best for last.
That it's his year, right? Yeah, it's his turn.
I can't say DQ Smith did it. I just can't say that DQ was like significantly better his last year.
I think he didn't, because he didn't do it, JC, to the level that we have seen in previous years, yeah, right? Yeah. Like with the corner that emerges and grabs his draft stock, right? Yeah. I mean, it just DQ did not have that kind of year.
Yeah, it was so like Darius Rush. Yeah, he had some big moments.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And see, and I think with DQ too, he's a really good football player. I think with DQ in the pass game, he had the pick six in against Notre Dame,
yeah,
in the bowl for the touchdown. And he's had those he didn't really have those types of moments. Mm-mm. Once you got past a certain point.
Yeah.
But so anyway, I can't really say individually, but man, look at O'Donnell Fortune 2023 versus 2024.
Right.
I mean
that was
that guy. I mentioned Rush. Cam Smith.
Cam Smith is one that comes really to mind. Good. Yeah. It's like, yeah.
Going back to Jalen Foster, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what you hope is that, you know, and look, Peyton's practiced pretty well. I mean, he won the defensive MVP award.
And, yeah, I think it was,
you know, mentally, yeah, and all that. You have to be there. But I was happy he went to media days. He needs some love too.
Yeah. So I think that speaks to also one of the big gaps in last year's teams was leadership. Like something tells me, you know, Peyton Williams is not in Tampa today if his on and off the field leadership had not made a step forward.
Right. Right. No doubt. Lance said, Bobby asked if Fry had any eligibility left. Oh, heck. Maybe he should.
It was no bigger than a minute, man, but he was like, just dead on every
maybe
time.
He should file a lawsuit. Like everybody else.
For eligibility. Yeah.
Cam said teach Lenoris how to kick. I don't know. He did play soccer. So
I'd say if we didn't, you know, have a good punter in Mason Love, then hey, I would not close that door. I wouldn't open it publicly, but I wouldn't close it behind the scenes.
Yeah. No doubt. Quantrell said ESPN's fired Ravitch because he needs more money for McAfee and Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. has been getting paid for a while, but McAfee's is shooting up quickly. Mm,
yeah.
So absolutely right. Lauren says, I hate people getting laid off. It stinks, especially after 30 years working for a company. Yeah. Mm. Ghost says, Shane and Dabo on a broadcast in 20 years. Wow. Quantrell said Hayes Fawcett from On Three created a three-headed monster graphic featuring Sellers, Harbor, Stewart coming off 4-8. If Carolina wins, the support will be there nationally, I feel like, except from the Cover Three podcast. Yeah, I agree. But you know, like I was talking about, Doring probably watched the every play of the Florida South Florida game and came away maybe
and was impressed. Right.
I think those guys are like, because they watched Kendall Browse did not make an impact on Florida State. They still lost and Taggart got fired. I think that's what they're thinking. But Florida State, if you look at the quarterbacks they had, the players they had, the offensive line they had, which could be a bugaboo. And he still put up numbers down there. It was the best they'd been with through their little downtime or whatever until Norvell had that really good team last year. So that's the deal there. Krager points out when they show Harbor's clips in the draft, he needs to show a lot of different routes with big yardage, not just nine routes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Or that deep crosser, you know, because that's the added element that we spoke about. Oh, you know, yeah. From last season. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Find the hole and turn up the turnip. Ghost Flame says if Sellers isn't running for his life and let these routes develop downfield, it would make a huge difference. Now, I will say this. I don't believe you're going to see the amount of slower developing downfield type plays. Not this all going to be short, but I don't see them having to have a situation where Sellers is a sitting duck back there, even if they're not very good at blocking.
Right.
I think they're more liable to say one read and take off. It's not there. Go.
Go. Yeah, that's right.
Go. Go. TD says North Myrtle Beach High School, the Chiefs. 100% right. They want to beat Myrtle Beach so bad, but won't ever be them. Dang. There's 1,000 people in Little River, South Carolina just turned off the show.
That's right. Yep. Every one of them just click.
Click. You mess with my MB, NMBS, MBHS Chiefs,
NMBHS.
When I was a kid, there was no Carolina Forest. Myrtle Beach High School was kind of the school, and Conway was a big school, and Soccer Steve was a big school, but North Myrtle Beach was like a 2A. It was way up there, Little River. But now I guess everybody's moved down there.
Right. Hey, North Myrtle Beach High School.
Oh, that's nice, and it's not right there.
We go to North Myrtle Beach. Krager says, who starts opposite Peyton Williams? Busey, Daniels, Currents? I think it's going to be David Busey at the beginning, Jadzavian Currents shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
So.
Are those three, like, if could you envision a situation where those three are essentially the starters, kind of like you have the three starting linebackers in the 4-2-5 similarly? No, you just
say, I think if Current supplants him, he'll supplant him.
And just, yeah.
And I'll tell you why, because it's just they don't really rotate. Now, they'll rotate their corners. But the safeties, they kind of like to go with two and then the nickel. David Busey could play nickel too. Very interesting. Bruitt says his collar healthy. Yes, he is. Tristan said they believe they said the Barnwell County Bulls. Yeah, it's not even the Cobras. It is the Bulls. Cornbread Cowboy told me about that last time I saw him in Columbia. Because he's from down that way.
Yeah, that's right. My wife is looking at the houses down there in the Williston Elko region of the
Williston.
Yeah.
Ori. Call Ori. He'll tell you. He'll
yeah,
tell
that's right.
Okay. So. Cockweed says, I adore Stray Shots at the Cover 3 podcast.
It's Quantrell is the best at it. And I mean, that is his lane. And I love that he brings it multiple times a week.
Quantrell brings the heat. TD Null, how Chuck Jordan didn't win a state championship at Conway mind boggles me. The talent he had, vastly underrated. Yeah, they were good. I remember they played Burns, I think, in the state championship one year. Maybe it was Upper State. Burns beat him pretty good. Because Burns, when Bobby Bentley had it rolling at Burns, they were just hard to match up with.
Dude,
with
that team offense. Was a juggernaut. You, dude, just
you could not match up with them. So, Pimp on a Blimp, we'll talk about Phil's mustache. Looks like he just ripped two packs of cigs and finished a NASCAR shift.
One of those things might be true.
Bruin said he thought Conway had won. Somebody looked that up. I'm not sure.
Oh.
Conway's a smaller school now. They've been Jody Jenneret, Conway alum, is now the head coach there. They're one of our teams we broadcast on the Chief Sports app. Mm-hmm. A four-quarter Friday focus school, if you will.
So, oh, I like that.
There's that. So I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, so Shane Beamer will be up here at 2:55 Eastern. Curious to see what people ask him about. They were talking about the hot seat before Cloninger got cut off. But, yeah, I mean, look, there's really just nobody else to put on the hot seat from the SEC. Like, I know DeBoer and Heupel and, you know, and what Clonnie was saying, which made sense, is, you know, there's does Beamer have the most pressure, which is what Jamie asked him. I don't know, dude, that – I mean, like, as far as the most pressure goes, I think Florida and LSU and Bama are just automatically pressure cookers no matter what year you're in.
Right.
But then the hot seat list, you're not putting Lane Kiffin – all right, as much money as they spend, if Lane Kiffin goes 5-7, unless there's some off-the-field something, they're not firing him.
No, no. You know, he may turn up missing in the bayou one day, but
if John Summerall goes 4-8 at Florida this year, Golish goes 3-9 at Auburn, they're not firing the guy. No, they may fire him the next year. You know, I think Josh Heupel would have to just have a terrible year to get fired. I mean, Josh Heupel is 45-20. He's averaged 9 wins a year.
I'd say Tennessee misses a bowl game.
He could get fired. Champions of Life.
Put up with that, yeah.
Champions of Life had back-to-back 9-win seasons. Now, in 7-16, he screwed up because they were fortunate for that win over Georgia, where they won the last-minute Hail Mary. But they had the SEC East in their hands, and Carolina beat him and knocked him out. Florida ended up winning the East that year. And then the next year he went winless in the SEC and he was out. So if Heupel has it, but I don't think Tennessee is going to be a disaster. I don't know. I think you were right yesterday, Phil, that the schedule's probably why people are picking them higher than we think. And Deshaun Bishop's a really good back. Their offense is proven. You know, with Knowles, I think he's an excellent, excellent defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody says, and you look at the Penn State defense last year, everybody says, oh, it takes a year or two to get everybody going.
It must be one of, I mean, I'm not an expert in defensive schemes, but I wonder if it's just like, you know, similarly to the Saban tree defenses and that there are a lot of moving parts here.
Could be. I'll tell you one NFL coach done a great job. It's Matt Patricia at Ohio State.
I mean, fit right in.
I would be curious to see how he simplified, though. I mean, I don't think you can go run a D like I don't know what he's doing in North Carolina. Bill Belichick, you know, he can't be that complicated. But I'd be curious. I mean, he did a fantastic. He was better than Knowles last year.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happened. One more high school sports thing. Mickey Wilson, head coach at Myrtle Beach, is a Conway alum that played quarterback for Chuck Jordan. And his uncle in the 80s lost the state championship at Myrtle Beach onto a one-arm field goal kicker at Burns. That's right. That game was 9-6. And the only way, I think it was 82 or 83. Only reason I remember it was there's a sign in the Beacon in Spartanburg, you know, the local.
Oh, yeah. That's that went, right.
You have these signs. And I remember seeing, because it was my high school I'd be going to. And my mom went to Myrtle Beach High School. So I always remember the Seahawks and all that good stuff. So there's that. All right. We got to get out of here.
Yeah. Let's get out of here.
Get me out of here, Percy.
Yeah.
Again. So, hour and 55 minutes. Gamecocks will be down in Tampa. Complete coverage on GamecockCentral.com, TheBigSpur.com. And this is quite a way to end it.
Yeah. It wasn't necessarily, it was next to what I was trying to hit here. Let's just see. We'll get a bit different vibe here. Although,
I'm going to go arm wrestle now.
I know, right? Yeah.
Over the top. So
we'll just guys, the world,
then. Guys said, you know, Corn Blue would have a hot seat question for Shane today. Yeah, I mean, look, everybody's asking. I think it's a fair question. But, I mean, you can't do anything about it. I mean, you know, like I said, if you're in the SEC this year, there's no – if you're trying to be fair, and every year, you know, there's a hot seat thing that comes out. You know, do I think –
somebody's got to be at the top.
Do you think if they start well and start playing well, they're very competitive and look better, do I think it's fair to keep it going? Absolutely not.
Right.
But right now, they're 0-0. So anyway. All right. Check out TheBigSpur.com, GamecockCentral.com. Here is the membership special now. You can join for $1, 5-day free trial. Or five, sorry, not free, 5-day $1 trial. And then your annual membership bills, and it's 50% off. So you get all the great content plus On Three plus Rivals for $5 a month. You're not going to find anything better than $5 a month for that kind of deal on a website. You join monthly, it's $11.99 a month. You get all of On Three, all of the articles. Like with both websites, like I said, all the articles are included, fourquarterfriday.com and thebigspur.com/gamecockcentral.com. For the Mad Dog, Phil Mullinax, JC Sherbert. Hope you all have a wonderful afternoon. SEC Media Days is here, and I'm sure we'll chop it all up about every little thing Beamer says and the players. But until then, arrivederci.